Yeah, welcome back to The Defiant Spirit. I'm Baruch Levy, also known as B, and I'm delighted and thrilled to be sharing with you some ideas of Judaism, of Passover, not as it relates to Jews, not as it relates to religion, as it relates to the human journey from slavery to freedom. That's why the American founders were going to use the Exodus as part of our seal here in America, and it's why it's part and parcel of the civil rights movement and the narrative of African-American, Black freedom, and so many other important liberation movements, because it's a universal message. It's ancient. It's timeless. And so I want to share these ideas with you, whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, so we can use them in our lives, both externally, collectively, but internally, personally. I'm doing 8 days of this journey from slavery to freedom. And each day I'm just taking a different topic or connecting it to the previous day. And so the first day was all about what's happening on college campuses around the country, particularly Columbia, NYU, and others, where there's just a vile anti-Jew sentiment, not even sentiment, expression through words, through actions. Jews are not safe in the 21st century, and the liberal bastions like NYU and Columbia. And it's not me being sort of dramatic about it. It's actually literal. They had to cancel classes because of this vile Jew hatred. As an aside, I don't call it anti-Semitism. I try not to. It's Jew hatred. Anti-Semitism is academic. Jew hatred is real. And it's very much a part of us. Now, at my Passover table the other night, we had a conversation about how are we complicit? No, I'm not, you know, doing anything to perpetuate and promote the call for genocide by those students at Columbia. And that's literally what they're calling for. But I am complicit in different ways. And so we had a conversation, many conversations, one of which was on complicity. And one of the things we talked about is, you know, there's two ways to lie, or there's two ways to sin, or however you want to frame it. One is through acts of commission, obviously, of doing things that are wrong. So you say to somebody something that's not true, that's an act of commission, that's a lie of commission. And that's certainly egregious in different degrees, right? The blood libels that are being said about the Jews are one extreme. And the little white lie over here that you told your boss why you're late, that's another extreme. So, and there's a whole gradation in between. That's not the only way to commit a lie or to contribute to, right, something that's wrong. The other way is acts of omission or lies of omission. And that's a withholding. And that's just as, if not more egregious than the act of commission. So right now on the college campuses, too many of them to even enumerate anymore, there's lots of acts of commission, lies of commission, and just spewing of hatred, and you know, just so many ways people are contributing to the call for destruction of the Jewish people, of Jews on campus, and again, the list goes on. There's another way, though, that we can become complicit, and that's when we stand quietly on the sidelines. That's when we say, hey, not in my backyard, not my problem. We can't care about everything. We can't, right? Like, for instance, I have backed off of the war on Ukraine and having sides and advocating. I've sort of lost the thread. I don't really understand it anymore, and my attention has been diverted to my backyard, Israel. I have two backyards, America and Israel, and so I've been focused on that. And Americans might say, you know, not in my backyard. And I don't begrudge them for that. I wish they cared. But now it is in your backyard. And, oh, okay, so your kid's not at Columbia. But my kids go to CU Boulder, and it's there too. It's everywhere now. And so what happens when it is in our backyard or when it's not? We have a moral obligation to say something, to do something, but at the very least to say something. And so I'm not like chastising anybody, because we went around my Passover table and we each talked about how we're complicit. Maybe not in that particular issue, but we all have issues that we're complicit, that we are lying by omission, that we're leaving something out, that we're not contributing to a positive, constructive outcome. So here's an interesting idea from Passover and the Exodus. One of the things that is lost in slavery, and Dr. Frankel, my teacher, who went through the Holocaust, talks about this too. You lose your identity, of course, right? They strip you of your name, of your identity, of who you are, right? And what you're about. They reduce you to less than animals. I mean, animals were treated better than the Jews in the Holocaust, to numbers. Dr. Frankel was prisoner 119104, was written on his arm. He was no longer a man, he was just a number. And in that process, you lose many things attached with our essence, not the least of which is our ability to communicate. You know, he talks about just being an animal, having to survive. And surviving meant just focusing on food and staying alive, and there was no more communication. One of the things that happened in the Exodus was in the process of being enslaved by the Egyptians, the Israelites lost their ability to communicate. Maybe they could grunt, maybe they could, you know, communicate at a survival level, but that's not the communication we're talking about. And the Kabbalists, the mystics, call this Galut Hadibor, the exile of language. They were exiled out of their homeland. They were exiled from freedom to slavery, but they also were exiled away from their identity and their ability to communicate. And in that, they lost who they were. And so part of the Seder is the Passover journey on the first and second night of Passover is we sit around a Seder table, and what do? We talk. We don't just, you know, gossip or shoot the shit. What do? We talk about meaningful things. We read this story of the Exodus to jog our memories on what happened in the past, what's happening around us, and what's happening within us. And so the Haggadah is what we read from, but it's interesting because the Haggadah literally means lahagid, which means to speak. It's a way to jumpstart our conversations. Again, not just trivial or mundane, but to jumpstart an opportunity like at my table where all my kids and some family and friends were there. And we started to talk about what's happening in Columbia and NYU and in Israel and around the world and what's happening in our own backyard and what's happening in our hearts. And what are the ways that we have become complicit in a thousand different things? How have we lost our voice? How has it gone to exile? Where have we given our power away? And in yesterday's conversation about, you know, we end up concentrated in our inner concentration camp and we got to break out of there. And so one of the ways we do that is through speaking. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for Passover is Pesach. And according to the Kabbalists, Pesach is made up of two words, peh, the mouth, sach, sicha, that converses or speaks. Passover is about opening your mouth and speaking. Again, not trivial words, but words of admiration, appreciation, and love to the people around you as a pathway to help them liberate themselves. Speaking those words to yourself, speaking those words out in the world, doing our part to stop being complicit. And that doesn't just mean words of love. Sometimes it's words of justice. Sometimes it's demanding justice, using our voice to rally the troops to counteract the haters, the protests that are going on. And they're more than protests. They're now acts of violence out in the marketplace. What can we do to bring our voice in our way to our lives, to the lives of the people around us, and to the lives of the community at large so that we're not complicit of lies of omission or failing to act out in the world, and we can reclaim our identity, reclaim who we are and why we're here, which is always a place of love, a place of justice, a place of truth. That is the true nature of at least decent human beings. And I, of course, you watching this are a decent human being. So in order not to become indecent, all of us, we need to make sure that, yes, we're doing our part by committing ourselves to the world, acts of commission, but also to look at the ways we have removed ourselves from the world and lies of omission, and to do our part to open our mouth to speak that love and that justice and that truth. And that's the journey from slavery to freedom.